The News and Public Affairs Department of the Gordon Broadcasting Company presents Viewpoints, a program dedicated to the establishment of a better understanding between members of San Diego's white and Negro communities, and featuring the spontaneous, unrehearsed opinions and comments of San Diegans of all races. This program is presented each week at this time by KSDO Radio in the belief that only through a meaningful exchange of viewpoints can we dispel the unfortunate misunderstandings that too often exist between people of different religious and racial backgrounds. Your hosts on Viewpoints are the Reverend E. Major Shavers and Mr. Harold Brown, who appear as interested members of the Negro community. They invite your telephone comments and questions. The number to call is 234-8361. That's 234-8361. Now, your Viewpoints announcer, Reed Carroll.
Good evening. This evening's topic will be the role of the Negro in the fight for freedom. First, we'll hear from the Reverend E. Major Shavers, the minister of the Christian Fellowship Community Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ for the past 21 years. Reverend Shavers is the past president of the San Diego chapter of the NAACP. He's well known in San Diego for his deep interest in freedom and justice for his race. He believes in the implementation of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights as the means of achieving the true American dream for all its citizens. And he's presently the moderator of the San Diego County Association of the United Church of Christ. The Reverend Shavers.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Viewpoint. It is hoped that this introductory statement will provoke interesting and helpful discussion. Now, it is to be expected that there will be areas of disagreement along the way, but always with respect. As we express our viewpoint of the Negro's role in his fight toward freedom, this editorial is my own and does not reflect in any way the policy of KSDO. In the first place, the Negro's role in his fight toward freedom should be the establishment and maintenance of a certain moral and ethical standards essential to every human being who respects the dignity and the worth of human personality, and that less emphasis should be placed upon seeking to be accepted by the white man in his society, but rather that his efforts should be concentrated toward the goal of achieving the standards of an acceptable human being. In a pluralistic society such as we have in America, where freedom is the hallmark of our democracy, all citizens should be judged not by the color of their skin or the texture of their hair, but by the texture and quality of the soul. My viewpoint also is that it is incumbent upon responsible Negro leadership to assist in structuring wisely conceived plans that will help unite America, involving all people, black and white, in his demand for freedom and justice. For as long as there is imbalance in opportunity to share in all that the mainstream of America has to offer, there will be a growing discontent and disrespect for the white man's standard of freedom and justice, a common practice for the past 100 years, which it seems to me is the fundamental cause of racial conflict in our land today. It is the responsibility of every responsible Negro leader and every community in every capacity to use his limited influence to help relate bold and imaginative steps that should be taken in building bridges of understanding. One of our past presidents of the United States said once, "No nation can long survive half slave and half free." Thank you.
The Reverend E. Major Shavers. In just a moment, we'll invite your questions and your comments on KSDO. Just call 234-8361 and ask for Viewpoint. Now we'll hear from Harold K. Brown, a schoolteacher in San Diego in his sixth year with the San Diego Unified School District, a former civil rights activist who served as the Core Western Regional Chairman and as local chairman. He is now the director of the Self-Help Through Leadership Training on leave of absence from teaching at the present. Mr. Brown.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner still wave for the land of the free and the home of the brave? From every mountainside, let freedom ring. These are familiar words, freedom, liberty, justice. Three words that have very special meaning in our country. They carry with them all the tears, the blood, and the emotion of one's burning desire to live his life to the fullest of his capability, without any fear of his fellow man attempting to place unreasonable restrictions on his life. This is the America as we Americans know it. This is the America that we, as black people, want it to be. We have learned the history of this country well, at least in a general way. We understand, as black people, at least in a general sense, about the American Revolution and the fight for freedom. We understand the business transaction in the acquiring of this land from the Indians. We understand the concept of Christianity and the teaching of fair play and love thy brother. And we also understand how easily Christianity is forgotten or set aside when it comes to applying it to the Negro. Yes, we understand the fight for freedom in Korea, Laos, and Vietnam. We understand well the importance of freedom, and any attempt to deny it to any person is an attempt to enslave that person. Black people love freedom, every bit as much as white people love freedom. Wherever freedom is being denied, whether it is in the continent of Africa or whether it is in the continent of North America, the cry will be, let freedom ring. So the role of black people in this country is to push the fight for freedom. Our role is to bring America face to face with every instance where freedom of opportunity is denied to any individual. Black people must be willing to die for freedom as white people were willing to die for freedom when they came to this land. For as long as black people continue to fight for freedom, one of America's most cherished pillars will remain strong. Now we invite your viewpoint on the subject, the role of the Negro in the fight for freedom. The number to call is 234-8361.
Now your co-host on Viewpoint, the Reverend E. Major Shavers and Mr. Harold K. Brown.
Good evening. Reverend Shavers, I see that the telephone is ringing this evening, and I hope that we will have a very interesting conversation. What do you think of the idea of your establishing a question to the first caller before we entertain this call?
I'm ready to answer the question, but rather I would encourage our callers to express their viewpoint. I think that I expressed my viewpoint in my editorial to begin with. However, I would like to explain more in detail.
Okay, let's have our first caller. Good evening, Viewpoint.
I wanted to know, could we answer any questions?
Can you answer any questions or ask any questions? Help yourself, whatever you want to do. We'd like to have your viewpoint.
I wanted to know how big of a part did white backlash play in this gubernatorial election?
Do you mean the California?
How many Negro votes did Brown lose?
Well, in my opinion, my viewpoint is that the white backlash played a very little part in California. The reason for this, viewpoint is that I think that if the Democratic Party had been united, the election would have been a little different.
I disagree with that. I feel that there was a considerable amount of white backlash in this election, not only in California, but throughout the country. What do you think, sir? What is your viewpoint? Do you...
Well, we study this in school in civics, and during the Watts riot, I think that Brown lost a lot of votes towards, Brown lost a lot of votes, a lot of white votes during the Watts riot because of the Negro uprising. That's what I was taught to believe through the reading in Newsweek and U.S. World and News Report. And the white people's attitude towards violence like this is what was the major cause of Brown losing the election.
Okay, sir. Thank you for your viewpoint. Good evening, viewpoint.
Good evening. Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
All right. As a young man brought up earlier in the last phone call here about the Watts riot, there's a point that I'd like to make that was brought up by one of the commentators, and I don't know who it was.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that stuck out, now, I'm white, and I go to work every day, and I'm concerned with my family, and I have my own problems, and so on. And I'm sure everybody in the whole city is aware of what's going on in the world, what's going on in this community, but we don't have time, enough time on the side to think deeply enough on what's happening. But
we don't take the time.
Yeah. Well, this is what I'm trying to do by making the call tonight.
Yes.
So one of the fellows brought up, a commentator, when the subject of property damage was concerned up in that area, was the idea that many of these families, many of the children, fourth and fifth generation, their parents and their parents' parents, etc., have never owned anything in the way of real property, and therefore how could they have a conception of the worth of property? And I'd like your opinion on this. I mean, your viewpoint on what this fellow said. Because for me, it rang home. I'm just in the process of buying my own home. I've worked hard for it. My parents before me had one. And if you get what I'm getting at from the negative aspect of this thing, where he said that because the past generations had never known, how could they possibly understand or have a value not a moral value, but a as far as somebody's real property is concerned.
Well, I have a viewpoint concerning this. This is E. Major Shavers.
Uh-huh.
And that is this. Most American citizens cherish this dream of owning property and earning their living in an honorable way. But this has been one of the difficulties as far as the Negro is concerned. He has never been able to earn up to the fullest of his ability for the simple reason that he hasn't been free to train himself to qualify for jobs. Now, if Negroes were given equal opportunity for jobs, then they would, their earning capacity would go up, and their purchasing power from $27 billion annually, I believe the Times Magazine 2 weeks ago would be to another $27 billion. And then they would become taxpayers rather than tax consumers.
Right.
And this is, I think, the real problem. The Negro is given a right to earn as any other American citizen, then he will have an appreciation for property because he will be a property owner. As it stands now, that he doesn't have the opportunity to own property because he doesn't have the opportunity to work. as the white citizen does.
Right, and this is the point that I wanted to bring out here then, is because of some of these are in most cases, younger people in this particular area, some of the people around me and the more or less white community said, you know, how can these people do this and continue to do it, break in the stores, set them on fire and whatnot like that. And this point is what I wanted to bring out, and I never gave it a second thought. Again, I'll go back to saying that here I am concerned, like most people, with my integral family problems, and I'm not a what you'd consider a learned person by far, but I can look out at my community and fellow man and say, well, you know, there's got to be something behind it, and then all of a sudden something like this is brought forth to realize just what a viewpoint these people had at the time.
Yes, well, I think they were trying to tell the country something when the frustrations just build up to that point.
Well, and this is true, but the way they carried it out and what they did, you know, from then on, though, rather than going in another direction, they attacked really, in essence, when you really look at it, they attacked real property.
Yes, I don't agree with that commentator, though. I think that a person does not have to really own real property, or his grandparents didn't have to own a Cadillac in order for him to buy a Cadillac and purchase a Cadillac and enjoy it and protect it. So I don't agree with that commentator.
Well, on the other hand, if you've never conceived of anything, how can you possibly look forward to it?
But you see, that's an assumption that one should not make, because I am sure that every black person in this country conceives of a better life, and this was the reason for the protests and the reason for even the riots. The reasons behind it is because that many black people are frustrated because they have not been given the life which they see for themselves.
Well, I like your answer to that. I really do.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much for calling. Good evening.
This is KSTO Radio Aisle 1130, and we invite your comments and questions on Viewpoint. The number to call, 234-8361. And this technical reminder, please turn your radio down when you hear the moderators say Viewpoint, and then you're on the air. Once again, your host, Harold K. Brown, and the Reverend E. Major Shavers.
Good evening, Viewpoint.
Good evening. Mr. Brown?
Yes.
I would just like to tell you and Reverend Shavers what a wonderful job I think you are doing each evening on this program.
Thank you.
And I would just like to thank KSDO for bringing such a program like this to the community. And it's men like you and Reverend Shavers who give the Negro a great sense of pride and dignity.
Well, thank you very much.
And may God bless both of you, and I do hope a program like this and other programs will go on forever.
Well, thank you very much for calling.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Viewpoint.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I have been listening to your program with a great deal of interest, and I think the previous speaker was a lady, and prior to her, I think I heard a gentleman speak, and somebody made the comment that the colored people were reacting as they did with the violence and destruction of property because they wanted to be given the things that the white man seems to have. And perhaps this was not the impression you intended to convey, but I sometimes have the feeling that the idea is to earn. And I happen to be of Irish descent, and I can recall my grandfather talking back east of the ads in the papers, Irish and Catholic need not apply.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that the Irish race has come up in the past 50 to 75 years as a matter of history. And it is my feeling, of course, I try and put myself in the other person's moccasins, but it seems to me that by rioting against property, the colored race is losing ground, because at the moment I don't happen to be a property owner, but I just feel that if we could educate the younger people to the idea that this is America, and it's not just a lot of malarkey when we say you are free and there is equal opportunity, but in my daily life I see evidences of the advances that have been made by the colored race. We have colored doctors, colored businessmen, colored attorneys, and they didn't sit back on their duffs and say, okay, give it to me. They went out and worked for it. And somebody mentions the dignity of labor. When I was younger, I was told that it doesn't matter what kind of work you do as long as it's honest. Whereas nowadays, too many of them are sitting back and saying, and this applies to the white race too, because there are now third generations of white families on relief, because they would sooner accept the relief check from Big Daddy than get out and work, because why work for a dollar or a dollar and a half an hour when you can get more than that and not work? It's a problem not only of the colored race, but of the white race. We've got to get back to the basic idea that any work is honest, and we must approach each other with respect and give the other person the opportunity to express himself. But to sit back and say, I'm white, I demand it, or I'm black and I demand it, I feel that this is not the way. I mean, history proves people like Ralph Bunche didn't demand. They got out and worked and showed what they could do. George Washington Carver. I think that when you let emotion and fighting and strife come in the front door, why, logic and reason will go out the back. This is my own viewpoint on it. However, I do feel that the program that I'm listening to will be helpful, and thank you for your time.
Well, thank you very much for calling. Good evening, Viewpoint.
Good evening. In regards to the gentleman that was just on, the Irishman, I think, I'm white, but I think the thing that he's bypassing here is the fact that he was white, and he could walk down the street, and nobody could tell if he was a Catholic, a Protestant, a Jew, an Irishman, a Pole, a German, a Lithuanian, or whatever it is, and that just from the outset of this, that if need be, during his grandfather's day, if the grandfather watched his language and went to apply for a job, when I say watch his language, I mean if he spoke with an accent, he could get around this.
Mm-hmm.
He could apply for a job, and he could even lie, let's put it that way, as to what his background was, and get away with it, where the colored man today can't do this.
That's right.
If you're colored walking down the street, or if you're colored applying for a job, that's it, my friend.
That's right.
And this is my viewpoint on his viewpoint.
Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was going to answer his comments, and I will briefly. The preceding speaker who spoke about riots, rioting for something, well, I think we all have to understand that the riots were not for the purpose, really, of achieving anything. Civil rights demonstrations are, and they rioted only because of the frustrations that, as a result of not being able to accomplish the things that the demonstrations were supposed to accomplish. So therefore, the riots just resulted from the building up of frustration upon frustration. He also mentioned something about respect. Well, I think that we are gaining a lot of respect in that we now, as black people in this country, have decided to really fight for the freedom which we have learned so much about in this country. And the preceding speaker, I think, overlooks one thing, and that is that there has not been equal opportunities for black people in this country, and there still are not equal opportunities. And I think this is what I suppose we have to realize first and admit to before we can go any further.
I would like to add to that, Mr. Brown. The previous speaker mentioned Dr. Ralph Bunche and George Washington Carver. These are idols of the white man as far as the Negro is concerned. This is very fine. We respect and admire Mr. Bunche as well as Dr. Carver. But we also recognize that just recently that professional Negroes, or those who had attained certain qualifications, found it very difficult, even right here in San Diego, to apply and get employment the same as any other American citizen.
And I also add that Dr. Bunch's son once went to the tennis court, I guess it was in New York,
yes,
to seek admittance into the courts to play tennis, and was denied admittance on the basis of color. So Ralph Bunche, we have him up there in one of the high positions, but that does not solve the problem for the masses of black people in this country, sir.
No, this is exactly why I call on the validity of his argument as far as his Irish descent and 75 to 100 years ago, Catholics and Irishmen did not apply.
Yes.
Yep, they could put on a set of tennis shorts and walk across the same tennis court that you're talking about,
mm-hmm,
and an itinerant laborer, you know, comb his hair, brush his teeth, and put on his tennis shorts, and away he goes, not anywhere near the statue of Dr. Bunche. So, again, in the white community, there's been so much of this, exactly this same type of talk. Well, I got out and worked for mine, why can't they go out and work for theirs?
Yes.
And I think there's about a time, and again, like the lady that called before the gentleman, I'm white, and I'm with you guys, and God bless you, and keep it up.
Well, thank you for calling and expressing your viewpoint.
This is Viewpoint, brought to you through the cooperation of the News, Research, and Public Affairs Division of the Gordon Broadcasting Company. The topic tonight is the role of the Negro in the fight for freedom. We invite your comments and questions on Viewpoint. Call 234-8361. Now, once again, your co-host, the Reverend E. Major Shavers, and Mr. Harold K. Brown.
Good evening, Viewpoint.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I would like to address this to Reverend Shavers.
Yes.
Reverend Shavers,
yes,
in your opening remarks, are you suggesting that the black man seek isolation? And why should we strive for an integrated America? It seems to me that I gathered that from your comment.
Well, madam, I did not indicate that the Negro should seek isolation for himself. I believe, as I remember in my editorial, I felt that, and I still feel, that the Negro has placed too much emphasis on seeking to enter into the white man's society, because that the white man is objecting to this strenuously and has always objected to it. The first thing that when a Negro is seen with white people on a social level, the question arises immediately, do you want your daughter to marry a Negro? This kind of feeling is an indication that the barriers are up, and this is forbidden ground. But rather that the Negro should spend more time making himself an acceptable human being. I believe that is the statement that I made.
Who determines an acceptable human being?
I think the Negro himself are an individual. If he has certain goals, certain moral and ethical goals that he is seeking to achieve, he will be the one to decide when he has arrived at this level. And society generally will recognize this in him.
Well, my opinion is, if the white people will substitute realism and charity, that is love, for this myth and stereotype, Americans can live together, black and white, happily, if they could do that.
Yes.
I feel that the role of the Negro in the fight for freedom is to continue many of the things that we have demonstrated in the past. The peaceful demonstrations are the thing that has focused the light on the mistreatment of the black man. And I feel that this is the thing that should continue.
Thank you, madam. I should have asked you to write my editorial.
Thank you.
Good evening, Viewpoint.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
You're on. Go ahead, you're on.
Good evening, Mr. Shaver.
Yes.
Yes, I'm...
Yes.
Please turn your radio down, sir. We have a technical problem.
I'm listening to the program here, Mr. Brown.
Would you turn your radio down, please, sir?
I beg your pardon?
Would you turn your radio down, please? Thank you.
I believe it's down.
Yes.
Now, listening to your viewpoint here, to Mr. Brown and Mr. Schaefer, I'd like to ask you a few things. I mean, mostly all the time it comes up where colored people this and colored people that. What is the main thing about it? Where I believe every person or human being, not to the creed of any color, can make anything out of himself, whatever he wishes to.
Are you asking what is all this talk about the Negro and the white? Is this what you're asking?
Yes, mainly.
Well, it all started a few years back when we instituted a system called slavery in this country. And really today, what we are doing is we're trying to solve or really sever those strings that have tied slavery to this day, 1966. And this is how the problem started, and we're still in the process of trying to sever those strings. How do you see it today?
Well, I tell you, it's like this. I know many colored people, and a few of the persons that I knew, I wouldn't trade them maybe for 1,000 of whites because they were so good.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, it's not the creed or the color that you are. It's what you make of yourself.
Well, let me ask you a question. That's an interesting statement, and many whites make that. But why then, when we are born, do they ask us to put on our birth certificate the color of the skin or the race? Why is that? Why do they require that?
Well, that's a pretty good question as well. And another thing, as been previously, we heard about the Irishman, and I believe the other party made a comment where supposedly the man was of a foreign, or a person was of a foreign descent.
Yes.
And presumably he had a tough time getting a job, if he had any accent or so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I believe that still goes on today.
You think that discrimination exists?
Well, that would be just as well. Mm-hmm. Being, you said it, a discrimination, being a foreigner, just as well as colored.
Yes, and we have to get rid of that, too.
Well, it all boils down to the same thing again. I mean, if a person has the ability to do so in his line of work, I don't believe there should be any discrimination at all. White or black or pink or green, you know.
That's right, and we agree with you, sir. We agree with you, and we thank you very much for expressing your viewpoint tonight.
Thank you.
Good night.
This is KSTO, Radio Aisle 1130, and we invite your comments and questions on Viewpoint. That number to call, 234-8361. And this technical reminder, please, when you hear the man say Viewpoint, turn your radio down or you will create a technical problem. Now, once again, your co-hosts, the Reverend E. Major Shavers and Mr. Harold K. Brown.
Good evening, Viewpoint.
Good evening.
Yes.
I have a question. Do you, as a Negro leader,
Have you ever advocated of calling off a march and directing the activities and the energy towards cleaning up the ghettos and making them a desirable place to live as that they have in the places that they're marching to? I maintain that if the energies and the demonstrations and especially the riots and the money spent to quell them and everything else was applied to the cleaning up and making first-class places to live for the people that are actually demonstrating and make them as attractive as the places that they want to move to.
Well, there are reasons for that, sir. These people that demonstrate and as a result some of the demonstrations are inhibited and sometimes by the police in various communities and sometimes by other citizens who resent the demonstrations because it is an outward expression of discontent. And these people, if they had the opportunity to earn and to be educated and to take advantage of all of the blessings that our America has to offer, then they would not have time even to demonstrate any more than the white citizens would demonstrate. But because that they are deprived of their rightful freedom, they must make it known the only way that they can. And they start out by demonstrating, and of course when this is inhibited, then of course frustration results.
Well, would you have them direct their frustrations into making their own homes more beautiful and everything else to help themselves?
Look, I like to point this out to this speaker, that number one, we as black people don't feel that we live in a dirty ghetto. We feel that there are many lovely places within the area in which we live, known as the Southeast San Diego, or many whites refer to it as Logan Heights. But if you drive through there, you will find some lovely places. We have people who are just as concerned about cleanliness and a lovely patio and green grass surrounding their house just as much as anyone else is in San Diego County. And we have homes in the southeast area that look far better than some of the homes that I have seen in other areas. So we don't feel that we have to clean up our areas. And I'm not saying that there aren't some parts of southeast San Diego that do not need some cleaning up as any other parts of San Diego. But we do consider, and we are quite proud of the care that is given to a great part of the southeast section. So we don't feel that we need to spend a lot of time in just cleaning up. We need to clean up racism much more than we need to clean up our yards.
I think this should be clarified, Mr. Brown. The fact that I think if you would determine who are the owners of the dilapidated property in the ghetto areas, you'll find that people living in the, better communities invest their money in ghetto property because it is a good and a fair return for their investment. But you, when you find privately owned property, in southeast San Diego, are better known as some sections of Logan Heights. If it is a privately owned piece of property, it is well kept. But usually those pieces of property that is owned by outsiders who have sought southeast to invest their money because that they can get away with things in southeast that they could not get away with in Point Loma or Allied Gardens.
That's true. The absentee landlords would really fare better if they would take care of the property that they have in the southeast San Diego. And then I think that much of the southeast San Diego would be much cleaner than it is. Thank you very much for expressing your viewpoint, sir. Good night. Viewpoint. Good evening.
Yes, sir. I'm a teenager and... Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Well, I'm a teenager, and I've never really been that closely associated with Negroes, but I feel that, any other white person has never really lived under the conditions that some of the Negroes have to live under. And if we lived under those same conditions, we would probably feel the same way that they do.
Yes, I think there's a lot in what you say, in that living under certain conditions will certainly act as your frame of reference, and that is what you will go on in your feelings and in making decisions. However, I do think that there are many whites who, of course, have not experienced being black, but and have a good understanding and are very sympathetic to what the Negro today is going through.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel? Do you feel that that you are sympathetic toward the Negro, or what are your feelings?
Well, I feel that with the majority of the Negro, I feel they have equal rights with we white people. And, well...
I put you on the spot.
I feel sorry for the underprivileged people. It's not only the Negro people, but all underprivileged people.
Yes, I agree with that. And thank you very much for calling.
All right, thank you.
The topic of tonight's discussion is the role of the Negro in the fight for freedom. This is Viewpoint, brought to you in cooperation with the News, Research, and Public Affairs Division of the Gordon Broadcasting Company. The number to call to express your opinion or viewpoint, 234-8361. If the lines are busy, please be patient. Now, once again, your co-host, Harold K. Brown.
Good evening, Viewpoint. Good evening, Viewpoint.
Well, I would like to say a few words.
Yes.
I've been listening to your program for a while here, and I'm just new to San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in the service and traveled all over the country, Hawaii, and spent a lot of time down in Georgia and Florida.
Yes.
And they say that knowledge is power, and I believe that most of this, in a solution in a way, can be found in our school systems today.
Mm-hmm.
If they give them as much opportunity as possible to study and work together, and if the parents themselves alter their attitudes just a slight bit on both sides, both the white and the color, that they'll blend, because children have no malice or hate. You know, it is known that infants, they have no danger, feeling of somebody's going to hurt them or anything, because they're perfectly innocent to this. They have had no time to develop fear.
Yes.
And gradually, this is the only way, in my mind, that people can blend together and overcome, is by with time. Time is, well, like they say, will heal all wounds.
Yes, I agree. Then what you're saying is that with a dual system, then we cannot really get the chance to be to gain the experience of being around each other. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm trying to say, too, by educating everyone, which is by law that they must go through high school, junior high, and high school. Is this correct? Here in this state?
Yes. Well, they don't have to go through. They have to attempt to go through until they become of age.
Well, in other words, having them go through, let's hope that they can complete 12 years. They will stay with us for 12 years. That they should, by this time, have some kind of an idea of what skill they would like to, and by having no outside influence, they can develop their personality and their potential without exterior, pushing or pulling stress on them, because the young have enough trouble in growing up without having to worry about everything else around them. And as you know, your parents, the parents themselves are the people who influence them, almost develop their personality for them until they have the opportunity to leave home. And as I see it now, I am one of the fortunate ones, but not many girls or fellows get the opportunity to get out and move around and get to see what other parts of the country are like.
Yes, but madam, how are you going to keep customs and tradition from pressing in upon us?
Like I say, through education, knowledge is power. And like through thought conditioning, if you begin these children out that this is something that is dying away, and that they work and they play together, and they can grow up as they'll realize that there is a difference between their colors. But in other words, they will have more etiquette, more manners, their outlooks will be different, and there'll be a blend, more of a social blend, instead of this this bridge between them that's broken, that they can't go across either way. And it seems like the middle, the river, is all the other people who are already grown up and are stout in their beliefs that I'm against this and I'm against that, and this is the way you should believe because you can see how we're being hurt. Well, this is wrong. Jesus was hurt and hurt and hurt again and again, and it didn't change him. And the Jewish people were crucified, but yet they're still sticking it out, and they've overcome an awful lot. But it takes... I hope it doesn't take thousands of years. My God.
Well, I hope not either, madam.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Goodbye. Good evening, Viewpoint.
Hello there. Someone's still talking, so I can't talk.
Yes, you're on now.
I'm on now?
Yes.
Well, I want to tell you that I am in favor of things. I believe that a Negro, if he's intelligent, he should be educated. And the first person that ever put their hand on me was a Negro. I was born in Mississippi. And I am really in favor of them. But I do not believe in integration.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we've got good schools, and we should have good schools for them. But not integration, not just going to school with white people. And I would not want to go to school with a Chinaman or anything else. I am with a white person.
Okay, madam. Thank you very much for expressing your viewpoint.
Oh, yes.
Good night.
This has been Viewpoint. A special presentation in cooperation with the News, Research, and Public Affairs Division of the Gordon Broadcasting Company. Your co-host this evening on Viewpoint, the Reverend E. Major Shavers and Harold K. Brown.
KSDO Radio, in cooperation with the News and Public Affairs Department of the Gordon Broadcasting Company, has presented Viewpoints, a program designed to promote a better understanding between people of all races through a meaningful exchange of opinion and comment. We invite you to be with us again next week at this same time. Thank you for listening.